Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. This program is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your host is Pastor Jack Schumann, pastor of the Emmanuel Free Reformed Church of Abbotsford, British Columbia. And now, here is Pastor Jack Schumann.
Let us turn together to two passages from Holy Scripture, the first being Psalm 110, and then we will turn to our text, which is taken from Mark chapter 12, the verses 35 to 37. First then, Psalm 110. A Psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore he shall lift up the head." We turn also to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, the verses 35 to 37, and these words also form the text for the sermon. Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son?" And the people heard him gladly. This ends the reading of the Word of God. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his Word to our hearts. Dear friends, there are people, both within and outside the church, who know the Bible very well, who even make it their lifelong study, and yet who fail to grasp some of its most essential truths. And the reason for that is because by nature we are blind and ignorant of spiritual things. The Bible says that the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and as such it cannot grasp the things of God. The only way that we can grasp the things of God is if our minds are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Until our minds are so enlightened, we can study the Bible all we like, but we will fail to grasp some of its most essential truths. And the scribes were a case in point. We just read together from Mark chapter 12, the verses 35 to 37. It was probably Tuesday afternoon, only a few days before Jesus was led away to be crucified. And Jesus was in the temple in Jerusalem. And present on that occasion were the disciples and a large crowd of people. According to Matthew's gospel, a number of Pharisees were also present. Throughout the day, Jesus had been questioned by the religious leaders of the Jews. And so, for example, in chapter 11, verses 27 to 33, we read how he was questioned by the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders concerning his authority. Then in chapter 12, verses 13 to 17, we read how he was questioned by the Pharisees and the Herodians concerning paying taxes to Caesar. And then in verses 18 to 27, he was questioned by the Sadducees concerning the resurrection. And then finally in chapter 12, verses 28 to 34, he was questioned by a scribe on behalf of the Pharisees concerning the greatest commandment of all. And Jesus answered each question in such a way as to silence his accusers completely. But now the time had come for Jesus himself to ask a question. It was a question about what the scribes taught about the identity of the promised Messiah. And he posed it not to the scribes, but to the common people who had come to hear him teach. And we have a record of that question in Mark 12, verse 35. There Jesus asks, How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son? Jesus wanted to know why the scribes teach that the Messiah is David's son when David says he is his Lord. That's a question that never seemed to occur to them. The scribes were experts in the law. They knew the Bible inside and out, but they could not understand how the Messiah could be both David's son and his Lord at the same time. With this in mind and the Lord's help, let's consider these words under this theme, Jesus, David's Lord. And we'll consider, first of all, the challenge presented in this claim, and secondly, the calling implied by this claim. Jesus wanted to know how the Messiah could be David's son and Lord at the same time. He asked this question, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? Now, Jesus here speaks of the Christ. The word Christ is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. This is the name which is commonly ascribed to the Savior whom God had promised to send into the world. He would be the anointed one. He would be the one anointed by God as a prophet, priest, and king to deliver his people from the power and the penalty of sin. By using this particular word, our Lord was obviously referring to himself. He uses the third person because he knows that the religious leaders of the Jews did not accept his claim to be the promised Messiah. In fact, they bristled at the suggestion. And that's because Jesus did not measure up to the kind of Messiah they were expecting and wanted. Like most of the Jews of Jesus' day, the religious leaders of the Jews believed that the Messiah would be a powerful political and military leader who would lead the Jews in a revolt against the Romans. But by this time, it was clear that Jesus had no such intentions. He himself said that his kingdom was not of this world. Therefore, the Pharisees, together with the other religious leaders, rejected him. And Jesus knew this. And so rather than get into an argument about this whole matter, Jesus refers to himself in the third person, and he asks, how is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? Now, when asking that question, Jesus is acknowledging a fact that was universally accepted among the Jews of his day. And that fact was that the Messiah would indeed be the son of David. Now, that's clear from a number of passages in the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13, the Lord is quoted as saying to David, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, the Lord here was speaking in the first place about Solomon, who was David's son. But ultimately, he was referring to the Messiah, who would be born of David's line. He is the one who would build God a house, and God would in turn establish his throne forever. Or we can think of Psalm 89. There in Psalm 89, God is quoted as saying this, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. So how will God establish David's seed forever? How will he build up his throne to all generations? Well, simply by sending the Messiah who would come from David's line. And then in verse 19, he says this, then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. Now again, although these words refer primarily to David, they were ultimately fulfilled in the Messiah. The point is, the Messiah would come from David's line. We could think too of Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 2. There Isaiah says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, these words also refer to the Messiah. And you'll notice how he is described here. He's described as a rod and branch out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse was, you remember, the father of David. So the Messiah would be the son of David. And so the scriptures are abundantly clear. The Messiah would be in the line of David. He would be the son of David. And consequently, that's what the scribes taught. And that's what every Jew at that time believed. But that is not all that the scriptures teach on this subject, as Jesus also pointed out. Not only do the scriptures teach that the Messiah would be David's son, they also teach that he would be his Lord. In fact, that's precisely what Jesus goes on to express in verse 36. After asking how the scribes can say that Christ is David's son, Jesus goes on to quote what David himself wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Psalm 110. And he says this, "For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.'" Now, Jesus here was quoting from Psalm 110, verse 1. Psalm 110 was always regarded by the Jews as a messianic psalm. That is, a psalm that speaks of the person and work of the Messiah. The early Christians also regarded it as such. In fact, this psalm is quoted no less than 33 times in the New Testament, all in connection with Christ, more than any other passage in the Old Testament. And in verse 1 of this psalm, David quotes the Lord saying to his Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." Now, who is speaking here and to whom? Well, it's clear that God himself is speaking. And we know that because the first Lord in this verse is the name Yahweh, or Jehovah in English. And that is God's covenant name. It is the name he revealed to Moses from the burning bush. But to whom is he speaking? Well, we receive a clue from the name that David gives to him. He calls him his Lord. Now, the word here in the original Hebrew is Adonai, spelled Lord in lowercase O-R-D in the New King James Version. And although the word Adonai does not always refer to God, sometimes it can refer to another human being who is of a higher status, but in this particular case, it does refer to God. And we know that for at least two reasons. First of all, because David refers to him as his Lord. Now, David was a king, and as such, he was not a servant to anyone except, of course, to God himself. And so that second occurrence of the word Lord here must refer to a divine being. Secondly, we know that this is referring to God because God promises to seat him, the Lord, at his right hand until he makes his enemies his footstool. Now, the right hand of God is a position of the greatest power and authority, a position that could only be occupied by God himself. And therefore, we conclude that this word Lord here refers to the second person of the Holy Trinity. So somehow, in a way that we cannot fully explain, David received a glimpse into something that occurred in eternity. Theologians refer to this as the Council of Peace, when the three persons of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, covenanted together to save the elect. And as that covenant was being formed, David heard, as it were, God himself, the first person of the Trinity, speaking to his Son, the second person of the Trinity. And God is anticipating the completion of his Son's atoning work. And he invites him, upon completion of that work, to sit at his right hand, which took place at his ascension, until he made his enemies his footstool, which would take place at his second coming. And so in this way, the Messiah would not only be David's son, he would also be his Lord. Now sadly, the scribes, along with most of the Jews at that time, did not see this. They had read this psalm thousands of times, but they did not pick up what David was saying. They thought of the Messiah only in human terms. He would be David's son, and that was it. But Jesus says, no, David says more. He says he will also be David's Lord. Now, in making that statement, Jesus, of course, was referring to himself. He was declaring himself to be David's son and David's Lord. Now, that Jesus was David's son is clear from the New Testament. It's clear from his genealogies. The Gospels contain two genealogies of our Lord, one in Matthew chapter 1 and the other in Luke chapter 3. The genealogy in Matthew 1 establishes Jesus' lineage to David via his earthly father Joseph. The genealogy in Luke chapter 3 establishes Jesus' lineage to David via his mother Mary. The point is, Jesus traced his lineage to David through both of his parents, and therefore he had every right to claim to be David's son. And that was confirmed by the fact that he was born in Bethlehem, which was the ancestral home of David, the place where he grew up and where he lived. But secondly, we know that Jesus was David's son from the testimony of others. Several times in the New Testament, we read of people referring to Jesus as the son of David. For example, in Matthew 9, verse 27, we read of the two blind men crying out, "Have mercy on us, son of David." And in Matthew 15, verse 21, as Jesus traveled through the region of Tyre and Sidon, he encountered a woman of Canaan who cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David." And in Matthew 21, verse 9, we read that as Jesus made his way into the city of Jerusalem, just a few days before the events of our text took place, the people of Jerusalem cried, "Hosanna to the Son of David." So several times, Jesus is referred to as the Son of David, a title with obvious messianic overtones. And at no time did Jesus ever dispute this. At no time did Jesus ever say, "No, no, you've got it all wrong. I'm not the son of David. I'm just Jesus, a lowly carpenter from Nazareth, son of Joseph and Mary." He didn't say that at all. On the contrary, he accepted this designation. Why? Because he knew it was true. He was the promised son of David. But not only was Jesus David's son, he was also, as we've said, his Lord. And in what way was he David's Lord? Well, because he was divine, because he was the Son of God. And we know that Jesus was divine because Scripture applies to him divine names. He's called in the Scriptures the Alpha and the Omega. He's called God. He's called the Son of God and the Holy One of God. The Scriptures also ascribe to him divine attributes. He's said to be eternal and omnipresent and omniscient and omnipotent. The Scriptures, too, speak of him as doing divine works. He creates, he upholds, he forgives sins, he judges. And what is more, the Scriptures accord to Christ divine honor. He is worshipped by men, he is praised, and he is adored. So the Bible is clear. Jesus is fully divine. He's fully human, yes, but he's also fully divine. He is co-equal, co-eternal, and co-essential with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And in that respect, he is rightly called David's Lord. So Jesus is both the Son of David and David's Lord. My friend, do you believe that today? Do you believe that Jesus is not only David's Lord, but is he also your Lord? By nature, we don't see that. We are blind, as we said earlier. In order to see who Jesus is, that must be revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 16, we read of the account of Jesus and the disciples on their way to Caesarea Philippi. And along the way, Jesus asked them the question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah. And still others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets? And then we read that the Lord Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And similarly, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, Paul writes that no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that we can see and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Well, what about you today? Have you also come to acknowledge this? Do you accept Jesus' claim in his text that he is not only the Son of David, but also his Lord? And have you also come by the power of the Spirit to see that and to own him, to acknowledge him as your Lord? Well, my friend, unless you acknowledge Jesus as Lord, you cannot be saved. Oh, have you done that? If so, then that needs to show itself in your life. And that brings us to my second point. If we truly accept Jesus as Lord, that has to demonstrate itself in our everyday lives. In fact, it must show itself in every aspect of our life. Someone once said this. He said, unless Jesus is Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. Now, what does that mean practically? What does it mean to say that Jesus is your Lord? Well, it means simply this. It means to submit to the will of Christ at all times, in all places, in every area of your life, no matter what the cost. It means doing what Christ wants you to do, living the way Christ wants you to live, submitting every aspect of your life to his control. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you claim to have Jesus as your Lord, that means you will keep his commandments. And if you're not keeping his commandments, if you're not at least striving to keep his commandments, then he's not your Lord, and you're not one of his subjects. Now, it's interesting. We have here a connection between this passage and the one that comes before it. You remember in the previous passage, a scribe came to Jesus and asked him which was the greatest commandment. And Jesus answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, now Jesus comes back to that question, albeit indirectly. First, he explains how we are to live as his disciples, and now he explains why we are to live that way. It is because Jesus is David's Lord. To obey Jesus, therefore, is to obey God, and to disobey Jesus is to disobey God. Well, are you obeying him today? Are you living for Jesus Christ as Lord? Maybe somebody says, well, I'm trying to do that, but I find it so difficult. And indeed, it is difficult. The old man is still so strong, even in the strongest of believers. And our faith is so often weak. So easily we give in to temptation and we go astray. And at times we can ask ourselves the question, well, am I really a true child of God? Have I really been born again by God? Well, my friend, yes, you have been if you truly repent of your sins. You see, the person who has learned to submit to the Lordship of Christ isn't perfect. He stumbles and he falls many times. At times he even openly rebels. But when he does, he repents. He comes to the Lord time and time again with sorrow that he has not lived the way that the Lord wants him to live. He has gone his own way and done his own thing. And then he asks the Lord, oh Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean in the precious blood of Christ. Fill me again with your Holy Spirit that I might be able to walk in your ways and do your will and live to your glory in all things. In fact, coming to Christ again and again and again with that confession of sin on our lips is in itself an acknowledgement of his Lordship. For it is recognizing that he and he alone is the one against whom we have sinned, and that he and he alone is the one who can forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, dear friends, today the Lord comes in his word, and he demands that we acknowledge his lordship. He demands that we acknowledge that he is not just David's son, but he is also David's Lord, and as such, he must be worshipped, obeyed, and served. So what is your response to that demand? Sadly, the people who heard Jesus speak the words of our text did not respond in the right way. Oh yes, Mark informs us that the common people who heard him that day heard him gladly. But why did they hear him gladly? Was it because they truly embraced in their heart what Jesus was teaching them about himself? Well, probably not. It was probably more the fact that they enjoyed watching Jesus argue with and eventually silence the Pharisees. Listening to Jesus was a form of entertainment for them, that's all. They loved to watch him rout the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. It gave them great fun to watch this. Nothing gave them more pleasure. Oh, but may that not be true of any of us. May this portion of the Word of God not merely be a form of entertainment, an amusing distraction. Oh, but may God grant that all of us may accept Jesus' claims as true and embrace him not only as David's son, but also as his Lord, and live that out in our everyday lives to his glory. Until that day when he will come again on the clouds of heaven, when the trumpet will sound, and the archangel shall shout, and every knee shall bow of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and then every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. If you are blessed by or have a comment on the message you've heard today, we would very much appreciate hearing from you. Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can visit our webpage and make a donation right on our webpage. Again, our webpage address is banneroftruthradio.com. Please remember that the Lord would have his people come together to worship him. For that reason, we urge you not to use this or any other radio program as a substitute for being an active, contributing member of a faithful, Bible-believing church. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.